Tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you.
Packers lose to the Lions 34-31. And now, it'll be Gary Ellerson joined by Jason Wilde. You just go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and you get everything about all the things Jason does. And I just get to listen because I know Gary's going to have great questions and Jason's going to have answers to how you feel about the Green Bay Packers. But I will defer to Gary. Jason, good morning.
Why do everybody, every time you are co-hosting with someone, you do this, and it annoys me to no end.
I know.
You do it with John Anderson.
Yeah.
You do it with Bulaga.
I like listening to you, too.
I think the three of us can all be part of the conversation. I appreciate your setting your incredibly large ego aside and allowing Gary and I to catch up, but you
got that right.
Should be part of the conversation.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. Gary will start, though. I will. I'll bat second. All right, Gary, take it away.
Hi, Gary.
Jason, just maybe your overall thoughts. I mean, and I just lead with mine. I just felt I came away. The Lions just better than we are at this point in time right now. I mean, that was my overall prevailing thought. Take it away.
Yeah. Not by a lot, right? Not by a lot.
Yeah.
But they are.
Right.
You know, their offense. Look, I still, there's part of me, and I understand this is his deal. I understand that this is how he wants to be.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
But you don't go for it on your own 30-yard line. Like, you're up 24-21. Just punt the ball away, man. Like, and ultimately, it doesn't cost them, and they go and they win the game. I get it.
But it will in the playoffs. It'll cost them again.
Right. And it's just, it was, you know, I like aggressive. But as my buddy Kevin Seifert, I saw point out on Twitter, is the difference between being reckless and being aggressive merely whether you win or lose the game ultimately? Because no one's going to, you know, I mean, we are right now, but most people are not going to say that he was reckless there because ultimately they win the game. But that was reckless. It was dumb. And without that, you know, I don't know, maybe the Packers go down and score on their ensuing drive anyway if they have to start at their own 15-yard line instead of at the Detroit 30-yard line. But the bottom line is that you're playing with the lead. Like, if you're playing from behind and you want to be that risky, even then I don't think at that point in the game it's the right decision. But that allows that puts the Packers right back in the driver's seat, gets them the chance to take the lead. And maybe he's just that confident in what his offense is capable of. But that was dumb. That said, Gary's right. They're not, you know, leaps and bounds better than the Packers. But in spite of all their injuries, they are better than the Packers right now. Now, that said, you know, I understand there are no moral victories in the National Football League. But I tell this story all the time. Homer, I know you've heard me tell it before. But I remember during the 2010 season, back when I was traveling to every game, going to Atlanta and being in the most positive, I wouldn't say jovial, but the most positive, confident, losing locker room that I had ever been in. And I'm willing to guess that if we talk to Rob Domofsky tomorrow, Rob Domofsky will say the same thing about that locker room today in Detroit, that in 2010, they lost to Atlanta in Atlanta. And I remember Jordy Nelson, Rodgers, and they all were like, dude, if we got to come here and play these guys again, we're going to beat them. And the Falcons ended up being the number one seed. They went 14-2 that year in the regular season. And what did the Packers go to Atlanta and do in the divisional playoffs? Not only did they beat them, they trucked them. Rodgers had arguably the greatest game of his career. There was the touchdown interception return for the touchdown by Tremont Williams right before the half against Matty Ice. And that game was over. I mean, they went in there and they just kicked the you-know-what out of them. I don't know if there would be a rematch, say, in the NFC Championship game. You know, that would require the Packers based on their path, the way it looks, to beat two other division winners. If it plays out this way, you know, they got to beat the West or the South winner, and then they've got to beat the Eagles to get to Detroit. Theoretically, obviously a lot of things can change in the final month. But if that ends up being the path, I think it's a toss-up game. But I think Gary's still right. Until proven otherwise, the Lions are just a little bit better. And if their coach wasn't aggressive / reckless, it probably wouldn't have come down to the game-winning kick, I don't think.
I just want to interject, since you'd like me to be a part of this.
I do. I do want you to be part of this. Yeah.
What do you think occurred in this game to make the Packer players be that confident of a future game against the Lions?
Well, first of all, like the way their offense was able to go, you know, stride for stride, right? They take the lead at 21-17. They take the lead again at 28-24 after the boneheaded fourth down decision. But beyond that, you know, and I know this is going to sound stupid and that I'm being a Jeff Hafley athletic supporter, but think about what their defense did. I understand that they gave up a season high in points. I'm not poo-pooing that. But that, in my opinion, is the best offense in the league. They're the leading scoring offense in the league. If you can't get Jared Goff off his game, he will carve you up. They got two really good running backs. But, you know, not only do they get the fourth down stop, that regardless of how knuckleheaded the decision was, the Packers still have to stop them. And Quay Walker did. He got the stop on that play. Keyshawn Nixon gets the interception. I mean, that defense made some plays now against a really, really good offense. Now, they failed when the game was on the line. They did not get off the field when they needed to. But I thought that given what they were up against defensively, I thought the defense showed that it's capable of not stopping the Lions, which no one has been able to do, but slowing them down enough to give their offense a chance. And I also thought it was interesting that they won the toss. They chose to defer. LaFleur told the reporters in Detroit after the game that he was thinking back to what happened in the first game on November 3rd, how everything went to hell at the end of the half because of Love's pick six. And so he wanted to get the ball coming out of halftime. And the Lions go down and score right away, which was not ideal. But then the Packers, I think they went punt, punt, fumble on their first three possessions.
Yes.
If you listen to LaFleur and you listen to Love, even though it came down to the last play of the game, in their minds, they kind of lost the game by not getting off to a better start. And I think their logic is an accurate mentality. Like, if you know you're going to be in a track meet, you can't trip out of the starting blocks, right? You may be able to close the gap near the tape, but if you start like that, you put yourself in a big hole, and they obviously did that. I don't want to sound like Tausch, but I don't feel that Packers fans should be in any way discouraged by this. Like, I don't think the gap is insurmountable, and if they have to meet again in the playoffs, I think it'll come down to the same type of thing where it'll be one, two, three, four plays that decide the game, and maybe they make them next time around and they actually can beat these guys. But they got a lot of work to do before they get there.
All right, Gary.
No, I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But you know what I like to look at, Jason, and you're a little bit more astute about this than I do, but than I am.
I don't know about
how. Well, yeah, I'm going to explain to you. And how teams build their organization. And if you look at the Detroit Lions, to me, it feels like the Lions may be a year or two ahead of us in that rebuilding process. Meaning that when they made that Stafford-Goff deal, we still had Aaron Rodgers, and we were still kind of doing our thing with Rodgers. And then they made that deal, and then they rebuild that team. In comes Dan Campbell. They rebuild that team. All of a sudden, then we decide to move away from Aaron Rodgers, and then we become the youngest team in the NFL with Jordan Love. And it just seems like we are just in all actuality, you look at it, it feels like we are a year or two away from where the Lions are. And then if you look further out, if you go with the San Francisco 49ers, it feels like the 49ers had their shot, but now the window is closing. If you go even further out, it felt like Jared Goff and Stafford, when they made that move, they won that Super Bowl, so they had that dominance. So now you have the Rams, 49ers, in the NFC I'm just talking, and then now the Lions, and it feels like we should be behind them. And somewhere in there, I don't know where the Vikings came from, but they had a resurgence in there somewhere.
Yeah, and we have to include the Eagles somewhere in that mix too. But yeah, you're plenty astute there, Gary. I mean, Homer, I think I just said this to you yesterday on the Homer Hour in between our discussion of TJ Otzelberger, is that I still think these guys are a year away. I've thought that all season.
That was my point.
And I'm with you on that. Now, is it possible to get to arrive early? Is it possible to, you know, win a game you shouldn't? I always thought, you know, I always use the 95 Packers as the example. Like, they were actually leading in Dallas in the NFC Championship game, right? I mean, they somehow win that game. You know, Gil Haskell doesn't get his head slammed against the turf, and everybody kind of gets super upset on the sideline, given how popular Gil was in that game. But the Packers are beating the Cowboys, their arch nemesis, the team that ends all their seasons back in the 90s. But they had really gotten to that point because they had beaten the San Francisco 49ers the week before, the defending Super Bowl champs. That was what announced their arrival. But that they were but I think a lot of people thought, I think you'd even ask Coach Holmgren, he would say it, that they felt like it was still a year away. And then in 96, they go and win it. I think the Packers, you know, I think the Lions are ahead of them by a year, in part because, you know, I still think the turning point for the Lions was the fact that they came into Lambeau with having already been eliminated from playoff contention, facing an Aaron Rodgers quarterback team at Lambeau Field that knows that if they win the game, they're in the playoffs. And for them to come in and beat the Packers that night, I think that was when I became a Dan Campbell believer, because I had been a skeptic to that point. And so that was the end of the 22 season. We saw what they did last year. They end up in the NFC Championship game. They were a year away last year. Now it feels like they've arrived, and they may not win may not make the Super Bowl. Maybe Philly beats them. Maybe the Packers beat them. Who knows what to make of the Vikings? Everybody poo-poos them, but they're in that position. This is their year to have that best shot, and it feels like the Packers are still a little ways away. And I think one of the reasons why I feel that way is just that their defense, while it made some of the plays, it obviously didn't make the most. Like, you're getting paid to get a stop before the Lions get in field goal position. And I understand that the Lions are a good offense, and I understand that they got away with a pick play and the Packers didn't, and all that other stuff. But those are the things that the teams that are ready for their moment overcome. And the Packers didn't do that today, and maybe they're not able to do it until 2025. But they're in the mix. But I think Homer, I think I said this to you in August, that I think they're going to be a better team than they were the previous year.
And they are.
They may not make it past where they made it in the playoffs last year, despite being a better team. Maybe they make it to the same point. Maybe they make it a little farther, but they're a year away. And if I'm wrong and they're in Super Bowl, you know, 59 in New Orleans, God bless them. Because I think they feel like they can speed up the process if they can just get past these guys.
All right, let me get to the post-game injury report presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Visit orthowisconsin.com today for info. I know, Jason, you'll have more. But assess the defense as a result of the injuries that took people out and where any or all of those people are right now.
Yeah, that was less than ideal, obviously. I mean, they start the game already without Jaire Alexander with his knee issues. They also start without Edgerrin Cooper. But it's really the secondary where the juggling had to occur yet again, and this time it really had to happen. So they go into the game without Alexander, so their nickel package, which is what they play most of the time, is Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety, Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at the outside corners, and then Javon Bullard, another rookie safety, at the nickel spot. Well, first, they lose Evan Williams to a concussion. But because they've repped Javon Bullard all this time at nickel, they want to keep him at nickel because they also need to keep Keyshawn Nixon outside. So they bring in Zane Anderson to play safety, who is primarily a special teams guy. And now he's playing on defense. Then in the second half, they lose Bullard. So now they have no choice. They have to move Keyshawn Nixon inside. That means they got to bring Eric Stokes onto the field. I think we can all agree that Eric Stokes had a couple of good moments tonight, but then he had a couple of Eric Stokes moments. So that weakens their secondary significantly. That does factor into how I kind of view what their defense did tonight. But again, no Packers fan should be belly aching about the Packers injuries, because the team they lost to is in far more dire straits injury wise. So we don't have a whole lot to complain about. Now, if you want to have a debate about how the penalty that wipes out the touchdown pass to Jacobs and forces them to settle for the game tying field goal, and the play against Keyshawn Nixon that does not get called offensive pass interference, that the Lions get away with, if you want to have a conversation about feeling like that was a double standard, I'm open to listening to that, because I'm not an NFL official, I don't see how those plays are different. They look exactly the same to me. It looks to me like the receiver.
So did the Packers lose because of the officials?
Well, let's be honest. So let's say the touchdown stands, okay? And they go, instead of tying the game at 31, they go up 35-31.
Right.
You saw, in the words of great American orator Steve the Homer True, they did a lot of fiddling and diddling after that, right? I mean, they get in position to kick the game-winning field goal. They go for it on the fourth down and convert it to make it a shorter field goal. But
you're saying Detroit likely would have scored anyway, so let's
So know. Detroit goes in. So Detroit, instead of kicking the game-winning field goal, Detroit goes in and scores the game-winning touchdown and wins 38-35 instead of 34-31, right? So I mean,
I'll accept that.
I think it's a fair argument to have. I'm not sure that the outcome is different, because the Lions still had plenty of time to get in the end zone, and what we've seen from them for most of the night was the Packers had a hard time keeping them out of the end zone.
All right, on to the drive of the game presented by Boucher Automotive, which Jason will also tell us more about. But I am curious as to, of all the drives, the one that stands out.
Yeah, Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile since 1977. So I'm only slightly older than Boucher Automotive, but I tell you about my guys all the time. Everyone needs their guy. You always have guys.
Yes.
You got guys everywhere.
Yeah.
And my guys are Mike Hansen and Scott.
How much easier does that make your life?
It does.
Yes.
Isn't that nice? You can pick up the phone and that you've got someone that you trust, that you know is going to be fair to you, that's going to take care of you. You should have a guy everywhere, but especially when it comes to cars, as you well know.
Yep.
So to me, the biggest drive of the game, and this is going to sound silly because this wasn't like, there were subsequent drives that were crucial and they got the Packers the lead. But to me, the most critical drive was the one to start the second half and the 59-yard pass to Christian Watson. At the moment that they complete that 59-yarder, The Packers have 31 passing yards, and 20 of the 31 had been on the pass to Watson that Watson subsequently fumbled at the end of. Like, their offense was fiddling and diddling. And then they obviously get that touchdown, and that, to me, changes everything for them. And now they're like, okay, we can do this, and they have subsequent touchdown drives after that. But to me, you know, getting the 59-yarder coming out of halftime, right, and then turning that into a touchdown, to me, is enormous. It just changes the entire
game.
They go from 17-7 to 21-17 in basically a blink of an eye because they get the touchdown, they get the pick, they get another touchdown, and now they're winning the game. And I did think that kind of sequence was obviously huge. I didn't think the game was over by any means. And the flip side of the drive of the game is when they took the lead at 21-17 and when they took the lead at 28-24.
70
both
yards.
Times,
Detroit
right,
Lions.
Both times.
Touchdown.
Both times the Lions scored going the other way. Yes, sir.
All right, last thought from you, Jason, because we then will have callers for Gary. Do you feel better about the Packers, or what are you thinking? And I know you're not a fan, but as far as them as a team, you said you thought they'd be very confident in the locker room, but how about you?
Yeah, I thought they were a good team all along. Now, it's funny that they have won 7 of 9, and the two losses during that 9-game stretch are to the same team, obviously, right?
Yep.
So that obviously factors in. But the bottom line is that they're a good football team. Are they good enough to come out of the NFC? I don't think so, but I didn't think that going into the season. But these are the kinds of moments that I believe, it doesn't matter if you're a 8th grade girls basketball team or an NFL team, these are the moments you grow from and you garner such valuable experience. Those guys should all be on that short flight back from Detroit thinking, okay, this game is different if I do X, Y, and Z. And the guy across the aisle is thinking, all right, this game is different if I do A, B, and C. And sooner or later, they're going to do A, B, C, and X, Y, Z, and they're going to beat these guys. Today wasn't that day, and I still don't think it'll be in the playoffs that day comes, but eventually that day will come because this team's arrow is pointing in very much the right direction. Now, I do want to bring up one thing before I leave, and that is they got to figure out a way to get the guy who, in my opinion, is their best all-around wide receiver more involved. Where has Jaden Reed gone?
That was our question. We're going to be.
What is
it? What?
Like, I
heard?
You know, and I think, I assume LaFleur will talk tomorrow, and I'm going to try and phrase that as, look, I get it. You got all these weapons, I get it.
But disappeared.
But he is such a unique player. How is he not getting more? What is going on there? And I would really love to get a thoughtful answer from LaFleur because I'm guessing LaFleur will say, yeah, we're not doing a good enough job getting him involved. We need to make a concerted effort to get him the ball. Our offense is better when he's involved. Because it would be one thing if he wasn't involved and Romeo Doubs was active and playing. But Romeo Doubs didn't play either, and Romeo Doubs was targeted like one fewer time today than Jaden Reed was, and Romeo Doubs was in the concussion protocol, and Jaden Reed was on the field. So that is one of the mysteries that
we need to start investigating. Right?
I have zero.
Right.
I have no answer. None.
We'll get one tomorrow. Thanks, Jason.
You know what? You know what I like to look at though. I think that the number of plays that they're getting offensively is not as much as we think that they are. They're not. I mean, in the first half, they didn't get a lot of plays.
Yeah, but Gary, if they have 10 plays, I think you're going to have one to Jaden Reed. He was targeted once.
Well, I understand,
I'm glad you said this because this was a blind spot in my closing argument there. Do you know how many passes Jordan Love threw tonight? 20. That if you only have 20 passes that you throw, and you get the ball to Watson down the field, and you get the ball to Wicks a few times, and you get the ball to Kraft a few times. He only completed 12 balls. Like, that is not – and it's great that they got the 59-yard explosive play, so they covered that ground without having to convert a couple of third downs on their way to getting those 59 yards. But that is part of the equation, because if you're only throwing the ball 20 times, and I just mentioned three other guys that you also want involved, that does reduce the opportunity. But still, he has to be more of a
priority. It's always something. In the last four games, he's got like 57 yards or something. This was not the first time. Yep. This has been going on.
You're right. And he is one of those guys that I can guarantee you, even if he wants to say something else, he will not. But he's not going to say, yeah, they got to get me more involved. I don't know what the hell's going on.
No.
I'm doing my part.
Right.
He is. I have covered guys who would say that. He is not one of them.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
They are waiting to talk to Gary Ellerson. It's amazing. It's 1 a.m. That's next.